5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show. It is Monday, June 9th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Astros took 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Cleveland Guardians. They used to be called something else. Now we don't call them that anymore. They win on Friday 4-2. They win Saturday in extra innings, 5-3. And yesterday, in a game where it felt like they actually weren't trying all that much, just given Lance McCullers didn't start, Jose Altuve didn't play. I mean, you had Shea Whitcomb out there, for goodness sakes. Jeremy Pena was your DH. And this was still a game that they had a chance to win. I'm a little annoyed. Mainly because of this, I want my first sweep of the year. They didn't even try to get it. They didn't even try to get it for me yesterday. But hey, they took 2 of 3. And for those who don't know, the Astros have been playing very well of late. They've won 11 of 16. They lead the American League West by a now season-high 2.5 games. And only the Detroit Tigers in the American League have been better than the Houston Astros since June 9th of 2024. That's it. So it's got me in this weird place. There's a lot of things happening, and I do wonder if it's smoke and mirrors, if it'll eventually catch up to the Astros, their inability to score in the first couple of innings of the game. Only 5 teams in the majors entered yesterday with fewer runs in the first through third innings. They didn't score before the fourth inning in any of their last 6 games. Scored before the fifth just once. 3 times blanked until at least the seventh, but it didn't matter. They went 4-2 over the road trip in Pittsburgh and Cleveland, right? They've got all sorts of injuries in the starting rotation. You're actually looking at Lance McCullers as someone that needs to be the Lance McCullers of old if you want to keep this up. You're throwing Colton Gordon out there. You've seen Ryan Gusto out there. You've seen some other randos that are getting called up. And yet they keep getting it done. So at this point, given that we are located here in the city of Houston, a city that also shares a home with a well-coiffed, very toothy spreader of the word. Is it possible that the Houston Astros are God's team? I'm just asking the question because they keep winning despite all the trials and tribulations that they are going through. And I got to say, it really impresses me. A lot like, you know, back in the day, you know, we're talking about like medieval times, the Crusades. People didn't really put a lot of thought into why they expected things to go down. You know, you're just under the assumption that, yeah, God's going to take care of it. And okay, maybe that actually is the way things went back there. We all didn't live 1,000 years ago. But someone who is obsessed with the movie Kingdom of Heaven, probably to a very strange degree, I don't think many people like this movie as much as me. There's this one dude who's just got the most confidence. And I'm assuming he's every single Astros fan out there. Because whenever bleep looks like it could hit the fan, and that, I don't know, the armies of the cross are perhaps going to run into some bleep, this is what he says.
God wills it! God wills it! God wills it!
God wills it! Because that's where I'm at with the Astros right now. I don't know how they're winning. I don't know how they're leading the AL West to the degree that they are. But it does feel like that at this point in time. I mean, they have been continuing this for over a year. Ever since that awful start last season, they've been playing very good baseball. And even though there have been some stretches this year in particular where the offense is pits, somehow they're getting it done. It's the defense. It's the pitching. Both the starters, the relievers. But, I mean, is this now the norm? Do we just go forward and say, yep, God wills it. God wills it! God wills it! I don't know. Sean, how do you feel about this?
I mean, a little bit like that, to be honest, where it's just like we talk about all the – I think it's just because we specifically, and Astros fans in general, focus on, like, the negatives mm-hmm. of the team so much, and you, like – oh, yeah, they're just going to win 2 out of 3 for
yeah.
however many series in a row. Like, they're just kind of, yeah, what was it, 16 or 11 out of their last 16?
11 out of their last 16 and the second best record in the American
yeah,
League since June 9th of last year.
In the past 3 weeks, we've probably been overwhelmingly negative, and
yeah.
they've been 11-5 yeah. over that stretch.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's all about the offense, which isn't scoring that many runs, but it's still scoring enough runs to win, which
yeah.
maybe that's a reflection on just all of baseball, but they're getting it done. I don't really know how to explain it because of their lack of scoring and because it does feel like all the arms that are throwing right now are perhaps ahead of their skis, if you will. And yet, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going on for a year maybe at this point. I just look up to the sky and say, God wills it! God wills it!
Yeah, because you look at the rotation, you're like, okay, so they have to win the Fromber and Brown starts, and then whatever you get from everyone else, that's just kind of, you just have to deal with it, and
yeah.
probably have to score a lot of runs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, watch this. We're not going to score any runs, and we're still going to win with the Gustos and the Colton Gordons.
It takes us time to even remember these guys' names,
yeah.
but we've seen them enough where we shouldn't be there, and yet we are there. It's awesome that it keeps happening, and at this point, it does feel like divine intervention. And listen, I would hope that they're focusing on more important things upstairs.
Than the AL West?
Yes,
what?
Sean. I hope that they're focusing on other regions, not the AL West. What if that's been the key all along?
Yeah, like, just like God just loves late night baseball, and he's like, watch
yeah.
this, Mariners lose again.
That's where the Armageddon is going to take place.
He just gets a kick out of like what is this? Angels lose.
Hey.
Rangers blow a giant lead.
Right, exactly. Rangers blow a with 2 outs and a lead against the Tampa Bay Rays last week in the 9th inning. Yeah, I'm out of things to say about it. I think just going forward, when the Astros win, we're just going to say, yeah, God wills it. The Astros are God's team. Cowboys, America's team. Astros, God's team. And sorry if that sounds sacrilegious, but I'm trying to figure out how this works. And I'm just a football guy. I don't understand baseball. Your sport confuses me and frightens me. But they keep winning, despite many reasons that I think are all valid to complain about. So.
And they've played, they have the easiest remaining schedule.
Yes!
Which I guess that
which
means
God
they play
will.
The hardest schedule.
God wills it.
They have the easiest remaining schedule in MLB. We're pretty, I wouldn't say dissatisfied, but we're just like, okay, I guess they're going to keep winning like this, I guess. Whatever.
I guess. At this point.
And it's going to get even easier for them going forward.
I hope so.
God wills.
God wills it. God wills it. So there you go. You want to weigh in on that, you can. 713-780-3776 to call it the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN975. Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey brings up, it helps they play in a bleep division also. Yeah, but it was supposed to be better this year. At least I was told by all the baseball experts, which sort of goes to show you that there really are no baseball experts. I don't even know who the foremost authority on baseball is. I know there's a lot of baseball writers out there who have, I guess, connections to the big agents, and they break news, they do the information trading. But who is the all-ball knower amongst all ball knowers of baseball? Like, is it Chris Mad Dog Russo? Like, who's the hot take guy that actually is right generally when it comes to baseball? I don't think that person exists. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
It would involve a lot more work, because to be on top of baseball is the most difficult thing to do.
I was going
to
say, I think that's why there's no hot take artist. That's because baseball isn't really designed for hot takes.
Too many games. And there's a lot of teams you don't even need to pay attention to, which should help me out a little bit. But
yeah,
there is certainly a void. I would like the offense to get going earlier. I do not know how they're getting it done, but they are getting it done. I'm annoyed, though, that yesterday they could have played Altuve. Come on. What are we doing here? We need to give him a day off. You don't play McCullers either.
They have a day off today.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's always something that bewilders me, but it's so accepted across sports now where you give guys a day off that who am I to complain about it? After all, God is willing the Astros to get dub after dub after dub. God wills it. What else from this weekend's series? Jacob Melton had an awesome catch on Friday, and I saw a lot of people starting to say, all right, we got something here. This is Joey Loperfido again. I have no issue with that. Also, Joey Loperfido seemed to be a little bit more of a dreamboat than Jacob Melton. No offense. I see less shrill screams online that were once done for Jeremy Pena. Have my babies, Jeremy! Like, I'm seeing less of that for Jacob Melton, but that was a hell of a catch. Is he going to play a little bit more when everyone comes back and everyone's healthy? I don't know. It was a nice catch, though. I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say he should play more, but being a lefty bat, maybe that lends itself to a little bit more. There's a lot of people that are saying, hey, you got to vote for Jeremy Pena to make it to the All-Star game. And, you know, speaking of that contingent I just talked about a moment ago, have my babies, Jeremy! If Jeremy Pena is going to start in the All-Star game, I need the very bonk, horny women of Houston to get on their game, okay? Go on the internet and start voting. Pretend it's like the Bravo TV show you love. Pretend it's like the reality TV show that you vote for, okay? Jeremy Pena, get him there. It would be pretty awesome to have Jeremy Pena be the starting shortstop for the American League in the All-Star game.
I mean, he is the best hitter on the Astros. Like, he's had the best season so far as a hitter on the Astros. So
that's true.
If we're voting in, if we're going to try to get Altuve or whoever in there, got to get Pena. Actually deserves
that. Pena deserves it. Altuve does not at this moment.
Yeah,
in time.
Pena or Altuve would be the, like, you see it a lot in the NBA All-Star game where it's like Kobe is last year.
Oh, yeah. He's essentially getting the Lifetime Achievement nomination.
Where it's like, oh, okay.
But I will say something I've noticed over the last couple of days online. A lot of anti-Altuve slander.
Whoa.
I'm noticing some people pointing out, including one of my favorite follows, fan I know, who one of the OG Paul Gallant Show listeners from way back at the flagship days, where people are saying, well, that's not Altuve. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, it is, isn't it? It's Altuve. That's him. He has his ups, which he just had an awesome stretch a little bit ago, and he has his downs. He had off on Sunday. Are we really starting this? Like, oh, it just doesn't look the same anymore. I can understand, hey, maybe saying it's time to move Altuve back to second base, given how shaky second base has been offensively. If Melton continues to play well, maybe that lends itself to that. But I don't have the same concerns that I'm seeing from some, not a lot, but it's a vocal enough minority of people that are saying, oh, what's the deal with Altuve? It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's 35 years old, so.
Yeah, but God wills it.
God does will it.
God wills Altuve to be the best second baseman of the 21st century.
It's a little bit of the catch-22 of we all get mad when the Astros don't pay guys to have them forever, you know, like Kyle Tucker deserves to be a lifetime Alex Bregman deserves to be a lifetime Astro. It's like, well, we have a lifetime Astro in front of us, and we're like, man, ugh, not looking the same. It's like, yeah, that's what happens. Yep. That's what happens when you pay these guys until their career's over.
We're not going to have the conversation about, is this contract going to age poorly? We'll save that for the Killer Bees. But that is something that I imagine they will talk about in the not-too-distant future. Say the Astros stop winning 11 of 16. But they've won 11 of 16 despite all sorts of injuries. God wills it. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, seems like a lot of Texans fans were taking deep steel blue pills over the weekend. I am seeing so many pants tense over the possibility of something happening here that's not going to be that big of an impact. It's not. We'll discuss why next. Stay put.
ESPN 975.
I assumed you knew.
Listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Over the weekend, there were some rumors circulating about how the Houston Texans and former Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb had mutual interest. I'll say this about Nick Chubb. I think he's one of the more underrated players in the NFL since the start of 2010. This is a guy who, over the course of his career, has, I believe, more yards after contact than maybe anybody but Derrick Henry, and might even have more than him. This is a guy who, over the course of his career, has averaged 5.1 yards per carry. I like him a lot as a player. The fact that he was as good of a running back as he was in Cleveland with all that Cleveland generally goes through is truly incredible. He had 1,494 yards in 2019. He had 1,525 in 2022. Hell of a player. One of the best running backs, again, that we've seen in the last 10 to 15 years. And I really do think that his ability to break tackles is second to almost none. That said, important things to remember about Nick Chubb, because I'm seeing people online do exactly what they do so much, and it makes this fan base seem so damn basic from time to time. They're looking at the name, and they are assuming that the name means this player is still the same. But Nick Chubb's been through some bleep over the last couple of years. I'm not talking about off-the-field stuff. I'm talking about in 2023, week two, he re-injured a knee that he had injured in 2015 at Georgia. It looked ugly. I think we all saw it. Torn MCL, damaged ACL. He began last year, since it happened early on in the 2023 season, on the PUP list. He played starting in week 7. He scored a rushing touchdown, but ultimately he broke his foot later in the year and had what was, at least in terms of yards per carry average, his worst season. He averaged 3.3 yards a carry last year. I like that the Texans are giving him a phone call, that they're going to give him a tryout. And if he passes his physical, awesome. But I'm not expecting this guy to do anything for the Texans this season. And there are times where I perhaps take a look at the discourse online surrounding a player, and I get annoyed by it. Without being fair and without saying, hey, this is not entirely accurate, an entirely accurate reflection of how the whole fan base feels. But here's how you should feel about Nick Chubb. Hey, the Texans have Nick Chubb. Let's see if he makes the team. Anything after that, it's secondary at this point in time.
Nick Chubb, the Texans are bringing him in. What does that mean for Damian Pierce? Again, he's got to make the team. I'm not just talking about in the next couple of days when he has to pass a physical. I mean, he's got to make the team by the end of training camp. I do not think that's a lock. I would bet on Damian Pierce to make the team over Nick Chubb to make the team at this moment in time. It's a great name. He's a great player. But I think there's a lot of reasons for skepticism. And I am amused by the excitement. Look, the Texans running game's going to look like with Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. Is this the best running back tandem in the NFL? 2 years ago, yeah. Yeah, it would have been. That's not what Nick Chubb is right now. I hope he proves me wrong. I really do. This is one of the more humble players in the league. This is a guy who clearly loved his time in Cleveland. He had that Players Tribune article that he wrote to Browns fans that got released in 2024. I thought it was awesome. I think everyone across the league loves Nick Chubb. So I hope he shuts me up, but let's pump the brakes. The guy's got to pass a physical. He broke his foot last year. Foot injuries are very difficult to come back from, and he also has had a knee injury on the same knee multiple times over a 10-year period. Just saying, cool the Jets down a little bit, okay? Tuck it in the waistband. You seem like you've taken a rise or two, you know? RIIZE, health.com, promo code 975 for 20% off the Reds Max Strips, Sean Mapes.
Yeah, like, I too, like, you can be optimistic. Like, let's just say Nick Chubb makes the team and, like, is the backup running back, is, like, a lesser version of some lesser version of what he was in Cleveland. It still would be pretty, it'd be a sign of something bad happening if he plays a major part in this Texans offense, considering I just pulled up last year's rushing stats. Joe Mixon, 245 rushes. Next highest running back was Damian Pierce at 40, tied with Cam Akers, also at 40. So it's such a huge drop-off for what the backup running back is going to be asked to do. And maybe there's a little bit more because it's Nick Chubb and because it's, you know, not Cam Akers and Damian Pierce. Like, maybe there's an increased role for the backup running back this season. But at the same time, when Joe Mixon was in Cincinnati, it was the Joe Mixon show. It was Joe Mixon was all three downs. He was out there for the Bengals, and that's the same thing that happened with the Texans. So, like, even if you fast forward to Joe Mixon or Nick Chubb is on this team backing up Joe Mixon, it's like that's still historically a pretty small role.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Now, Mixon last season, that he was able to do anything behind that offensive line is a credit to Mixon, and he kept on crediting the offensive line in front of him. But if you've watched the film, Mixon was making all of that stuff happen on his own. And while Chubb's good at breaking tackles, what can Chubb do? This is an offensive line that is pressing the reset button, and I guess it can't be any worse than it was last year, but I'm looking at Chubb. It's a cool name. I wish him the best. I'm not expecting anything out of him, and I still think that Damian Pierce has a bigger role on this team than Chubb at this moment in time. I think Pierce is very talented. Pierce, like Nick Chubb, great at breaking tackles. I do not understand why Bobby Slowick was not able to figure out a way to use him over the last two seasons, given what we saw out of Damian Pierce with Davis Mills as quarterback and Pep Hamilton as offensive coordinator. We've seen that guy be successful at the NFL level. And now that Bobby Slowick's gone, I mean, maybe it was Bobby Slowick's fault as opposed to Damian Pierce's fault. I think there's a lot of disrespect towards Damian Pierce, and honestly, I feel like it's crap. I think you haven't watched the guy play if you think he's not good. I mean, the guy has natural, put the ball in his hands, he's going to make people miss, he's going to run through people, skills. Not a lot of ball carriers have what Damian Pierce brings to the table. He might not be a scheme fit here, but I will expect more out of Pierce than I'll expect out of Nick Chubb. You should feel the same way on that front. It is cool to see Chubb as a Houston Texan, but pump the brakes a little bit here. Someone texted in, most interactive sports talk show in town, from the 832. How about Jair Alexander? That is a cornerback that the Packers are either on the verge of cutting or potentially trading.
Alexander is intriguing, but I am not trading for Jaire Alexander. I'm assuming at this moment in time you wouldn't have to give up much to get Jaire Alexander. Cut. And we do know that because we know he's going to get released apparently soon. The CEO of the Packers, Mark Murphy, said, like, yeah, well, we've played without him a lot. It was a weird, shady comment that he threw at Alexander, who has been a good player in the past. I definitely like taking a flyer on him as the backup cornerback or someone for depth. But this is what Mark Murphy, Packers, is he CEO? Is he president? He's in his final days as president of the Packers. And when asked about Jaire Alexander, saying that he's on his way out, he's been a great player for us, obviously elite talent, unfortunately just injured a lot. Unfortunately, that's a big part of the game. We've been used to playing without Jaire Alexander. That last part, yikes. And he has missed 34 games over the last 4 years. So that is something to keep in mind. I'm definitely willing to pick up the phone on Alexander. I don't think there's that much of a difference between he and Nick Chubb as far as realistic expectations for this coming season, especially given the depth situation, which Sean laid out. Hey, if Joe Mixon's ahead of Nick Chubb, how many carries is he going to get? If Jaire Alexander, is he going to want to play on a team that's got Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter as the one in the two corners? He's 28 years old. I'm sure he's going to think to himself, I'm going to go somewhere where I have the opportunity to play and earn myself another big payday as a corner. You want to weigh in on the Texans and Nick Chubb, 713-780-3776 to call it the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Fun text from the 409. Some people hadn't had a Chubb in years, Paul. Let them rise up. Well, let me tell you about my friends at risehealth.com. RIIZEhealth.com. Listen, as we get older, things stop working the same way. And you do not want that to happen when you're getting down. Am I right, guys? So why not get a little help from your friends at Rise Health with their Red Max strips? These revolutionary dissolving strips, which you put under your tongue, 5 minutes, boom, ready to go. Packs sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for harder, longer-lasting results in minutes. It's discreet. It's easy to use. You don't need any water. You don't need a full stomach or to not have eaten anything so it gets going as quickly as possible. All you got to do is go to risehealth.com, complete a quick questionnaire with a board-certified physician, and Red Max strips will be right there for you. And if you enter promo code 975, you'll get 20% off your first order. Again, promo code 975. Rise Red Max strips. Unleash your confidence today and rise up, you'll rise up with Rise Health, RIIZE health.com, promo code 975.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN 975. You want to weigh in on the Astros taking 2 of 3 against the Guardians over the weekend, 4 of 6 on that road trip in Pittsburgh and in Cleveland, 11 of their last 16 overall. You can. It does feel like this time they got fortune on their side. Perhaps the big man on stairs is willing all these victories for them, which are happening in spite of very little offense and a lot of injuries on the pitching side of things. Also, the Houston Texans are supposedly about to sign Nick Chubb. We'll see if they actually cross the finish line on that deal. NBA Finals continued last night, and that game was more what I expected from this series, as much as it bums me to admit. But it was pretty easy for Oklahoma City last night. And there was no collapse. This is a team that plays very good defensively. And this is also a team that can score. And, I mean, you held everybody on the Pacers, including Tyrese Haliburton again, to less than 20. Meanwhile, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the NBA MVP, scoring 34 points. They're the more complete team. It will be an upset if the Pacers, I would say, even force a game seven. I am rooting for the Pacers to win this thing entirely, but it's an uphill battle. That's how deep OKC is. So, given, one, it's two teams that people aren't that excited about, which I do think is lame. Ratings talk for the NBA Finals, also lame. But it's been interesting seeing what the discourse has been about this series, and people are complaining about some very strange things. Have you noticed that, for whatever reason, people are very upset at Mike Breen? Mike Breen, I guess, forgot to say bang on Tyrese Halliburton's game-winning two-point shot in game one. And he has been getting crap for it for days. I don't know if Indianans are toxic people, but it does seem that way. And it got to the point where Halliburton hit a three 5 minutes into the game. It did give the Pacers the lead, and Breen dropped that bang! And it felt like he had been bullied by the online mob, Sean, into saying that early. I mean, it was.
He did say, people say I owe him one, so there's the, yeah. I want to get that out of the way.
He even said it.
Like a very nice Mike Breen FU of like, there's the bang, all right? Are you happy?
He is the Knicks broadcaster during the regular season, so perhaps there's an element of him just hating the Pacers. I bet he is low-key rooting for the Thunder to win this series.
Yeah.
And handily.
He also pointed out after game one, he was like, well, I normally only say it for threes, and that was a two.
Yeah.
Like that was, it was like, that's normally what I do. I don't know.
There's a lot of weird focus in this series on things that have nothing to do with basketball. Why is everyone talking? Who cares about the logo on the court? Oh, there's no logo on the court. I can't tell they're playing in the NBA Finals. Oh, you can't? Are you dumb? Are you stupid?
Yeah.
What do you think is happening right now? It's June 9th. Basketball in June is almost always the NBA Finals. Dopes.
Oh, but I want them to have an NBA logo on the court because it makes me remember where I'm supposed to be.
I don't get it. Why are we complaining about everything in this series? It started with, oh, these two markets aren't cool. Then we get an awesome game one. So now we've drifted into complaining about this crap.
I mean, this is just what NBA talk is
just
like
complaining.
People complaining about everything about the NBA. It's like, yeah, like you have to go back very far to where like they actually put the NBA logo on center court.
Yeah, it's like, been a decade.
It's been over.
It's been a while. It's weird. It's a fan base that reminds me of the Star Wars fan base. So do any basketball fans enjoy the NBA? Serious question. I enjoy the NBA.
I think they do. It's just that you get more retweets by posting an old picture of the Larry O'Brien on center court with Kobe standing next to him being like, man, the NBA used to have aura.
Yeah, and like, yeah. Aura.
14-year-olds retweet it.
The so aura that, is
that's
maxing.
What all these 30-year-olds that live their life online have to cater to, 15-year-olds.
You are right about
that. I just typed in 2011 finals. There's not a Larry O'Brien on the court.
Yeah.
There's the finals, like, you know, cursive script on the other side of where
that's
the arena is. But, like, this is 15 years ago. There's not a Larry O'Brien.
It's bizarre. So that's what's going on in the NBA finals. People are complaining about everything that they possibly can because, I don't know. I'm glad I don't spend that much time on X. I go on Saturday. People are like, the Texans might have the best running back combination in the NFL between Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. And I'm like, Chubb might not make the team. Sorry to pee in your Cheerios, but he might not make it. I hope he does. And that's what I see when I go online. It's either people on Facebook just lying, or on X, it's people getting excited about things that probably will not go according to plan. Remember when we all thought they would have 3,000-yard receivers last year? That was actually realistic relative to this. Oh, I don't know. I'm glad that I had time off of social media this weekend, you know, hanging out with the lady and having myself a good old time. Coming back into the discourse of June and just remembering, oh, yeah, everyone's uncreative
makes me angry, and it distracts me from being creative. So I just get mad at how terrible sports conversations are in every element.
Oh, what's Altuve looking like? He doesn't look like the same.
Well, they're winning, so I don't know. What do you want? I am bitching about my job right now. Let me bitch. It sounds great. It's a great rant. By the way, the New York Knicks, their basketball team, they play their games in New York City. You would think that given that they play in New York City and how much they're talked about, they'd actually have some success. They haven't. But, get this, guys. If the Rockets want Giannis Antetokounmpo, they better get in line. Giannis watch, baby.
The young man from Athens.
He could be a freak on the court and on the sheets, you know what I'm saying?
And tell me, who has more Greek in him, the Greek or me? I think we have about the same.
Please stop.
The Greek freak is a Greek NBA champion.
Greek Freak Watch 2024 and 2025.
Might even be 2026. So the Knicks want Giannis Antetokounmpo, and get this, they are preparing a, quote, tsunami-type offer, end quote, for him. What does that mean?
I don't understand this. Also, I never heard of this.
I haven't either, Sean, and I mean, didn't they already do this to get Mikal Bridges? Didn't they trade 5 first-round picks to get Mikal Bridges? Isn't that a tsunami-type offer? Are they going to do that again?
I don't know. Godfather offer is also such a funny phrase. Because, like, in the movie The Godfather, like, The Godfather offer was putting a gun to someone's head.
Yeah.
But now it just changed to, like, no, it's putting in all the stuff, having a price you can't match. Like, that's not actually what that means. Yeah, I don't know. Is OG Anunoby and a couple guys, like, what are we, Carl Towns? Like, what are we?
I don't know. I'm offended, though. If I'm honest, I'm offended. I don't know if a tsunami's ever hit Greece. Good, theoretically. But I'm offended by this. I'm offended that they're going to prepare a tsunami-type offer to bring me into
town.
Who thought that up? Oh, I know. It was James Dolan. So, in the shocker of all shockers, James Dolan.
I should have known.
James Dolan is the reason that Tom Thibodeau got canned. And James Dolan is now the one who wants Giannis Antetokounmpo. James Dolan is such a bad owner. And by the way, they're also flexing. The Knicks are going to ask for permission to interview Jason Kidd. Guess what's going to happen? The Mavericks are going to say no. The Knicks are doing very strange flexing this offseason. It's like the kind of flexing that somebody who's 17 does. Hey, I had 3 Coronas this past weekend. Something I think I've actually said after, when high school, when I first started drinking. I had 3 Coronas this past weekend. Yeah, I was hungover, dude. I was so hungover. That's essentially what the Knicks are doing right now. Yeah, we're gonna ask to interview Jason Kidd, man. We're going to put a tsunami-type offer out there for Giannis. Yeah, that's right. We're cool. We wear sunglasses inside. Spike Lee's our number one fan. He's still relevant, culturally. Timothy Shamalabalaba. He's a good representative of us. So there you go. That's Giannis watch 2024/2025. We'll see if any moves happen. But the Knicks are ready to prepare a tsunami type offer, even though they traded a ton of draft picks to get Mikal Bridges, and I'm pretty sure they can't trade any more draft picks to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No. When they were interested or whatever the phrasing was in Ime Udoka, I was like, I don't know if they have the draft picks to trade for Ime Udoka.
No, they don't. You're right. I don't think they can trade anything anymore.
It would just have to be players, I guess.
I'm so glad they lost, and that they have now all their fans, all their dumbass fans who were throwing a celebration in the streets over making it to the conference finals. I can't wait for them all just to the collective realization. Oh yeah, James Dolan is still our owner, and anything good that happens is fleeting.
Yeah.
Back to the dregs.
And if anything, like, coming so close, like, theoretically so close, even though they weren't that close to the Pacers, who don't look like they're super close to the Thunder, so you're not actually that close to winning a title, but coming that close only kind of makes James Dolan, like, more like, oh, let me put this thing over the top. You know, like, it almost emboldens them even more.
It does.
Of, like, okay, let's get cracking. Let's make some swings. you know, Jason Kidd, Giannis, whatever's left after the tsunami offer. Let's go.
Well, generally a tsunami washes everything away.
No.
Okay.
Not this tsunami.
This tsunami's
this
different.
Tsunami brings back Giannis. It's like, you know, how tsunamis bring things.
It's like a tsunami, like an awesome sushi roll, you know, like some of them are called. Exactly. It's like
maybe
that.
That's what they meant.
Yeah.
That's what they
meant. The cool sounding sushi roll at your favorite sushi joint. Sean Mays by the glass and Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. I suppose that this is just June sports talk, but the most discussed sports debate over the weekend was centered around something that I don't think should be a debate. I will tell you what it is next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros took 2-3 against the Guardians over the weekend. They have today off. They begin a three-game home series against the Chicago White Sox tomorrow with Lance McCullers on the hill. He did not pitch yesterday. Weird game for the Astros yesterday in that it was errors that did them in. They hung in there till the very end. But it was a game where no Altuve, no McCullers, no offense early on. And they still had a chance to actually get that first sweep that I've been looking for. Meanwhile, the Texans are supposedly about to sign former Browns running back Nick Chubb. Cool. Chubb has to earn his way onto the team. I am not sold that he will. I have been complaining a little bit today about where we're at this time in the sports calendar. I'm getting a little frustrated with the discourse surrounding everything. NBA Finals talk has become about the ratings. Some are looking at the possibility of the Texans having Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb in the backfield and are acting like, oh my God, this could be the greatest running back tandem we've ever seen. Others with the Astros, you nitpick them, but as much as you nitpick them, I mean, go back to last year. Second best team in the American League since June 9th. Tigers being the first ranked team is surprising. Yankees are third, for what it's worth. But there was something else that took place on the internet over the weekend, and I just want to start off by saying this. This is a conversation that I feel like everyone should be in agreement about. And for whatever reason, there is a vocal minority that wants to die on this hill. This vocal minority choosing to die on this hill means that we keep on having to have the conversation, even though none of us want to have it, because it sucks. It's a sucky conversation. It always gets petty. It gets mean. But what I'm talking about is the idea that transgender women can play sports against women. I think anyone with a basic understanding of biology knows that, hey, if you're born a man, you're probably going to be a little more athletically gifted than the average woman. Should you be able to compete against them? I would just think anyone, especially in our audience, if you care about sports, we're all probably going to have just about the same answer. But there was a debate last night over the weekend, and it, you know, dragged on and on and on, between Simone Biles, arguably the greatest Olympian ever, definitely the best gymnast ever, and Riley Gaines, who is a former swimmer at Penn, who was muzzled while at Penn when it came to speaking out about a transgender teammate of hers, and she has basically created a media personality for herself online, constantly calling out how weird it is, strange it is, crazy it is, that a lot of states seem to look the other way and institutions, maybe especially on the Ivy League side of things, look the other way when it comes to a transgender athlete being allowed to play something that impacts scholarships, et cetera, et cetera. So Simone Biles and Riley Gaines got into an argument over the weekend. Gaines started calling out a Minnesota high school softball team for including a transgender girl in their state championship win. She noted that comments were disabled on the league's post. I think we all know why they were disabled on the league's post. Probably for the best if we're talking about a high school-aged kid, right? So Simone Biles clapped back. She called Gaines truly sick, a sore loser for her campaign against transgender athletes, which Biles attributed to Gaines' 2022 tie for fifth place with transgender swimmer Leah Thomas. Biles' argument to Gaines was to uplift the trans community, blah, 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 blah. They went back and forth. They went back and forth. Gaines called Biles out. I think Gaines had some good points. I think Gaines had all the points, in fact. I would say in the case of Biles, the one thing where she maybe had a point was Gaines could probably make the rhetoric a little less bitchy, I think. Just a thought. I don't think she needs to be as on the attack as she is. She's competitive. She's an ex-athlete. I get why she's as angry as she is about this and how passionate she is about it, given that she is someone who dealt with this while in college. Losing to somebody who is a biological male in swimming, that would piss me off. I'd probably never want to stop talking about it if I were in her shoes. But I do think that at times her rhetoric is a little bit pointed, especially when we're talking about high school age kids, you know? I don't think the high school age kids should be allowed to participate there, but do you need to be an a-hole about it? I don't know. So Biles did have at least one point there. But as far as the back and forth going, what frustrates me about this kind of conversation and about this kind of discourse is that it really should be simple. It's like, hey, listen, I'm a big believer that go and do what makes you happy. Just don't rub your face, rub my face in it. Don't throw a parade for yourself about it and force me to celebrate said parade, you know? But when it comes to things like the true equalizer, which are athletics, you know, everyone's on a level playing field, theoretically. When we're changing that to make a couple of people happy, and the idea generally that's pushed by those people who are in support of trying to make these young people happy is that, well, what happens if you don't try to make them happy? Do they harm themselves, et cetera, et cetera? That part frustrates me because I don't think it's entirely an honest argument to make, you know? And listen, feel like you're someone trapped in another person's body, I feel sympathy for you, you know, empathy. I think a lot of people lose that empathy. These are human beings we're talking about, and very often these are kids that we're talking about, which goes back to the way that Riley Gaines is talking about this stuff. But I just hate that we have to have the conversation. I hate that there are so many people that want to die on this hill and continue to argue that this should be allowed. I just don't think it should. And I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of, you know, all the debates that like about like, oh, you know, that we see as a byproduct of this, because this is one of those arguments that's at the center point of the culture war, even though it's something that doesn't happen all that often. It really doesn't. It happens enough. And the fact that it happens at all, I do think is crazy. And I don't think it should be allowed. But how much does it actually happen? It's always at the center of the culture war. I just hate these back and forths, but I do feel like we have to talk about it when it is Simone Biles and Riley Gaines going after one another. And that's what we saw over the weekend. I'm tired of this debate, though. I think we all should. It's such an unimportant issue in the grand scheme of our country, and yet it keeps on getting thrown out there at the top and used as essentially ammunition for those negative political ads that you see. I mean, what, you're going to vote based off of that issue alone? Seems like a very minor one, you know? So anyway, that's where I'm at. 713-780-3776 if you want to call in, if you want to text in. On Twitch at ESPN975. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, one of the newest Houston Texans had some very interesting things to say about what he expects from this team going forward.
This is way more interesting than anything Nick Chubb related. We'll talk about it on the other side. The Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.